Hello, everybody, and welcome to what I'm sure will be a very fun episode of ECH Postgame Live, presented by Flatstick Pub, and definitely worth talking about it right off the bat. Presented by Flatstick Pub, our wonderful sponsor for each and every one of these ECH Postgame Lives. And this is a special episode, of course, because we're going to be joined by Dylan in a little bit. From Flatstick Pub, the South Lake Union location. He is there for our Kraken watch party that we had tonight, which was an awesome time. I mean, I got to see a little bit of the start of it before I had to head out for this, but great group coming out there to watch the game, have a great time with Dylan and the whole ECH community. So they're going to be joining us shortly. But in the meantime, I mean, let's talk about this game. I am so excited for Postgame Live to start because we all just witnessed Shane Wright's breakout game in the NHL. And man, it sure looks like the future is bright. Where to begin with Shane Wright tonight and the way that he played? I mean, he was just circling around the slot in the offensive zone, looking for scoring chances, going to the net, doing so many of the things that the Kraken just needed more of all season from a lot of their guys. And you can see what he brings to a line and what he brings to the team. And then in the D zone too, really solid positionally, like he always is. But that diving shot block too, to take away a grade A chance from the Ducks, he was doing it all tonight. And I haven't gone through all of the numbers. I think he led the team in shots on goal as well. I have to see what the ice time totals came out to, but he showed why he can be a difference maker at the NHL level. And we all just got to see that, which is really great. So we'll kick things off with a super chat here from Angela. Baby squid, Shane did so well. He really did. I we're going to be talking about him quite a bit tonight with the way that he played. But I mean, this is what the Kraken need for their future. And you could see the difference between him and maybe a player like Matty Beniers. They each have their own strengths, but the scoring ability from Shane Wright is just on another level. And I mean, heck, even passing that puck at Matty Beniers' skate and getting it to go in, he's able to just generate offense in a way that nobody else on this team really has the potential to do. You know, maybe Jared McCann in that conversation, but it was just great to see it at the NHL level tonight and kind of see it all come together and to see him so happy. Because he was smiling, he was really thrilled with how well he was doing. So as far as the game itself, too, I should probably talk about, you know, the game. I think the Kraken, you know, didn't have the strongest start to this one. The first few minutes of the first period, they were a little slow, but as soon as they woke up, in large part due to Shane Wright waking up, they were fine and they played the Ducks pretty well. And yes, the Ducks are a bad team, but the Kraken were missing their top D pair too. I mean, we'll talk about it later and with the absences of Adam Larson and Vince Dunn, you know, that's a challenge. And these teams were on a bit more of an elite level playing field skill wise and just lineup wise. But the Kraken, you know, looked no worse than they did in any of those games against the Ducks previously. And we'll go right to chat here now. Everybody excited for Shane Wright. So many. Zoe, what a game to pick for the Flatstick event. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like we really know how to pick him for those watch parties at Flatstick. We had the awesome shootout win against the New York Islanders earlier this season. And then this game, Shane Wright's breakout game. Just got to be so awesome for Dylan to be able to enjoy all of that with so many in the ECH community all together. Little jealous of that, but I'm glad Dylan gets to enjoy it. Lindsay, hello from the watch party, undefeated at Flatstick Pub. Love to see that. Yeah, they are undefeated. Glad you're able to join us in chat here from the watch party, Lindsay. Multitasking, I'm sure. And then B with the haiku in honor of Kraken Twitter admin, who the Kraken were doing haikus on Twitter tonight. Shane Wright, 3-point night. That was an exciting game. Grubauer was good too. And I like the love for Philip Grubauer in there because he had to be pretty good at times. The Ducks had some good chances and Grubauer was absolutely solid. And I feel like it's gotten lost in the other storylines from the last few games, but Grubauer has really found his game again. And I think they're trying to kind of give him a little runway here, build that confidence for next season. Cause you know, he's going to go into next season with Joey DeCord and you're going to need both goalies to be good. Michael, first star Shane Wright. Yeah, no question about that. Shane Wright, 2C now, 2C forever. sure looks like he's ready for that. I know the Kraken might try and ease him in a little bit next season, you know, start him out a little bit lower, but I think he's ready for 2C duties right now. It'll be a little tougher against some better teams, but, you know, I think he can kind of power through. And in games like this, he can just eat at that competition's level. Scott agreeing, Groovy with some big saves for sure. Super chat here from Light. That second power play unit with Riker, Shane, and Maddie is going to be so fun to watch next season. Our top six centers are set for a while. Absolutely. And I love seeing Shane and Maddie together on a power play unit. I mentioned it after last game. It just gives you that feeling of the future is here, and seeing the two of them work together, it's just, it's really great. And it gives you a lot of hope for the future of this team, which is something we could all use right now with the playoffs not really in the cards for this season. Let's get back to chat here. Michael, Shane has been ready the whole year and his hard work is finally paying off. Yeah, he's done a lot of work in Coachella Valley to kind of get himself to this point. And that's something that not all of us, I mean, I know a lot of people in here probably do watch the Firebirds, follow them closely, but not everybody gets to see that work all of the time. But now we're kind of seeing it come to fruition. Cole, nah, Shane will be 1C in my heart and hopefully on the ice one day. I mean, that's fair. I think that's ultimately where I see him. And I know Dylan agrees with that as well as far as how they project out in their careers. Super chat here from JMG. Thank you, JMG. Shane for captain. Hope Hack doesn't suck the life out of his game. You know, he does look like a guy with captain potential one day. You know, it's going to be a little while. You know, definitely not anything that would happen next season or maybe not even the season after that. But, I mean, Shane Wright is potential captain material. And as for the coaching, like, I mean, there's certain things like that block in the D zone. Like, no coach is going to coach that out of a player. You can't. You either have it or you don't, that instinct. He's going to continue to bring it. He's going to continue to go to the net too. Cause again, that's just what he does. He's built for it. I can't imagine that'll get coached out of him. Andrew with a super chat here. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you hosting this. Wanted to make it to the flat stick, but had some shenanigans going on and watched the game from home. Feels good to stay in touch. Yeah, definitely. I mean, happy to host this post game show. I can't wait for Dylan to join a little bit later. And yeah, maybe next time. I mean, we're always, you know, we're going to look to have some more watch parties, probably not for the rest of this season because it's almost over. But next year, we're definitely going to have some in-person events for people to join us at. So hopefully we'll get the chance for you to go later, Andrew. But thank you for the super chat. Let's see, going back to chat. As CJ saying, that flat stick event was fun. And Shane, excited for next year. Definitely love hearing from some of the people who went and had a great time. Flat stick pub, awesome place to watch a Kraken game, as we all showed, as we'll see again when Dylan joins us. B, I'm wondering if maybe they're playing Belly because he's close to 700 games. That's the only reason I could think of to maybe play him over someone like Logan Morrison. I do wonder if that's a factor. I know he is close to 700 games. I know he's a respected veteran. And, you know, I thought he played well, especially early on in this game. Like, he did a good job. I still don't think it's a good reason. I don't want to get negative at all at any point, but you got to play the kids. Look at what Shane Wright is doing out there. I don't expect the same thing from Morrison and Winterton, but they were playing well. And at this point in the season, there's just no reason to play a veteran who's not going to be here next year over one of those guys. So take the cue from how you're handling Shane Wright, play the kids, let them go do what they do. I'm really hoping they get into a game on this homestand or just get sent back to Coachella Valley because they're going to develop there too just fine. The Firebirds I know are coming up to Abbotsford. I think tomorrow they play in Abbotsford, maybe the next day. So maybe the plan is for them to just come back up here and meet with the Firebirds there. But I am interested to see how that is handled. Coop, big shout out to Maddie getting his 100th career point. Shane is awesome. Really wanted the Hattie, but I'll take 2-1 most certainly. Ready to see him as a regular, and I hope it's not just the Ducks. No, I think the things that Shane was doing tonight, that translates against any team. Yeah, he's not going to put up 3 points a game against every team. He's not going to do that every night. But those are the kind of things that generate offense. Like, you look at that tip in front of the net, working his way to the net front for that first goal. And if you can get a stick on that puck, no goalie's going to stop it. It doesn't matter who you're playing against or who's in net. So that's the kind of thing that translates. And I think it will there. And yeah, so super happy for Maddie's 100th point because, you know, he's had a bit of a down season, but hitting that milestone before it's over, I think is great. And of course, just seeing Shane assist on it. The future is now. And Michael, yeah, Shane Wright immediately becomes the biggest off-season addition to the Kraken lineup next year, for sure. There's going to be others, but Shane is, yeah, might even be the biggest when it's all said and done. Yeah, Johnny, can't wait to see Shane in the Firebirds playoff run. Me either. B, one thing I loved is Shane was back on the ice right after his first goal, like 10 seconds into his shift. He had another great chance right in the slot. Love how he kept his foot on the gas all night. Definitely. And I like how Hextall just sent him right back out there. You know, let the kid go build confidence. He was clearly playing well, and just let him build off of that. And you could see it too. Was after his second goal, but that between the legs pass along the boards to get the puck to Eberle and get a good scoring chance. You could tell the confidence was there, and don't mess with it. Just let him go do his thing. And that's what the Kraken did tonight. Let's see. Coop, blows my mind that a 4-point game is still the Kraken record. Shane almost tied it. He did. I had the tweet drafted, actually, that Shane would tie the franchise record for most points in a game. But yeah, I mean, I guess 5 points is hard to get in a game, although I'm surprised nobody hit 5 points last season when they had all those games with 7 goals, 8 goals. But I mean, you look at how those happened too, and it was like 7 different goal scorers, 8 different goal scorers. So that's just kind of what that team was, and nobody just individually had a 5-point night. It'll happen at some point, but it is kind of hard to make happen. Bryce, the future is bright. The future is right. Yes, it is. Let's see. Coop, Shane literally cannot stop smiling in this post-game interview. Oh, that is great to hear. Obviously didn't have the chance to see it running this, but I got to go back and look at it, because that's just so great to see him so happy and just have some of that consistency. I mean, after how last year went and everything, this finally feels like he's being handled the way that a prospect should. And it wasn't all the Kraken's fault last year, just given the eligibility issue. But just great to see him kind of have this journey that a lot of top players tend to have in their career. Cole with Inron we trust. Yeah, certainly on the handling of Shane Wright. Like no notes, you know, but perfect this season. Super chat here from Light. So is no one going to mention Maddie got his 100th point off that goal? Actually, it was mentioned a little bit earlier, but yeah, he gets his 100th career point. Great milestone for Maddie. And yeah, off of his foot, you know, they don't always ask how, but they certainly are talking about how many with his 100th point there. So glad to see Maddie Beniers hit that milestone. So we head back in chat. Angela, another thing I'm loving is that these few games at the end of the Kraken season isn't going to be the end of Shane's development. Firebirds postseason, he was so good in last year's playoffs. He was, and he's going to have an even bigger role this year too. I mean, you know, they played a lot of games in that playoff run last year, and I think they could do it again this year. So yeah, he's going to keep on developing, and you see how a player can really hit the ground running there and use it as a springboard for next season. I think the biggest example of that last year was Joey DeCourt, who played every single game in that long Calder Cup playoff run and used that to kind of springboard his way to being one of the top goalies in the NHL this season. I think we might see something similar from Shane. Big super chat here from Elizabeth. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Great night for our young guys. We had such a blast at the watch party tonight. The room went wild when Shane scored and then scored again. Missed you, RJ. Thanks so much for hosting and for all that you guys do. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. That's really great to hear. I'm sure the atmosphere was amazing for those two Shane goals at the watch party at Flatstick. Yeah, missed all of you too, man. I really, really missed being there. And it was such a great time for that Islanders game last time, but I cannot wait till the next one where I get to see everybody again. I know, especially with Dylan not getting to be up here all that much and, you know, not getting to go to a lot of the games, just given where he's based, like that kind of experience and getting to see so many of you at an event like this, it just means the world to him. So I'm really glad he got to experience that. Back to chat here. Cole, watching Shane and Maddie score goals just hits so right. Finally feeling some excitement for next season. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, after the Kraken were eliminated, it was kind of over, or, you know, all but eliminated. There was a stretch where it just felt like watching Kraken hockey wasn't really fun anymore, I'll admit. But I mean, having the young guys come back up ever since the call-ups of Morrison and Winterton, and now of course with Shane Wright, like it's fun again, getting to see what these guys can do and just getting excited for the future again, instead of focusing on the now and, you know, maybe what opportunities were missed this season. Let's see. Light live in Spokane, so not as able to make these events. Yeah, it is a bit of a trip there. B, maybe Gru gets the hat since Shane can't get it two games in a row. And I think he has my vote. Yeah, I mean, he would certainly be deserving of it. Yeah, it's, Shane gets to give out the hat. So we'll see what kind of effort he appreciates the most. You know, what kind of angle he wants to go with. I can't wait to hear his, well, I guess the guy getting the hat gives the speech, but I still want to hear his take on who should get the hat and why. We'll see maybe a captain material preview there. Yeah, Hockey Fork predicting Shane 1C and will be the captain. I wouldn't be surprised to see it one day. Angela seconding Shane for captain. Lindsay, the lemon lime Gatorade is flowing freely tonight at Flatstick. Oh yeah, I wonder if Dylan brought one. I bet he did. Maddie, move Dylan to Seattle 2025. We are working on it. I mean, you know, if we can afford to do that, we will. I know, you know, that's definitely the goal. You know, if we could do that full time, get Dylan up here so we could see all of you more often. Would love to have that happen. JMG here with the super chat. Thank you, JMG. Do you think Shane will be able to keep getting net front once teams see how to guard him, to defense him? I think he will. And the big difference too is you look at Matty Beniers, and I think teams certainly made adjustments this season for how to counter him. But you look at the difference in their frames. I think Matty Beniers, once you kind of key in and focus in on him, if you are a bigger body or you put a bigger body on him, he just doesn't have the frame to be able to power through that and you kind of knock him off the puck. Now, Matty's going to have to figure out a way this offseason to kind of get around that and think around that. And I think he will. But Shane, you look at just the weight that he's carrying and how muscular he is and how wide that frame is. I think teams can devote all the resources they want to trying to get him out, away from the front of the net. I don't think they're going to have a choice. I don't think they're going to be able to. I think he's just going to be able to outmuscle his way there. And you see it in these games where he is already kind of able to do that against a lot of guys, NHL guys, men on defense. He's able to do that. And so I think, you know, every rookie sophomore in the NHL is going to go through kind of a slump, is going to go through some hard times. But I think Shane's just going to be able to power through that whenever that comes, because, you know, if it's just a battle of strength at the net front, strong man's going to win. And Shane, it certainly has that strength. A super chat here from Andrew, bless the young guys. Hope they get more time. Totally with you on that, Andrew. I'd love to see Morrison and Winterton again, because I think they were playing really well too before they got scratched. I think it was more of a get the vets in kind of thing, not so much a comment on their play. I'd love to see them get another chance. And yeah, the young guys, they're bringing hope. They're bringing fun right now. And that's something that everybody can use. Super chat here from Michael, not complaining, but I am wondering, why was the hit to Bjorkstrand only a 2-minute minor? Yeah, I was wondering if they might go major on that myself. It was definitely a shoulder to the head. It was a penalty for check to the head. Maybe they viewed that there wasn't like intent to it, that he was coming in to try and get the puck and just kind of delivered the hit wrong. That might be my guess. I mean, as with everything, the Department of Player Safety will take a look at it. I don't think we'll see any kind of suspension or anything, but you know, they do look at that stuff in case, you know, the officials may have missed something. But yeah, I thought we might see it go five, but I'm not super surprised that it didn't, probably just because also Bjorkstrand popped right back up. I mean, he was down for a little bit, but like if he was really hurt, I think we might have actually seen five. Unfortunately, that is how they look at these things sometimes. Super chat from Julia. Thank you, Julia. Wow, can't believe Dylan agreed with me in person that all of his Chex Mix opinions are wrong and my opinions are actually correct. Yeah, that sounds just like Dylan. I'm sure when he joins this post game, I'm sure he'll agree with that. You must be very persuasive there, Julia. And yeah, with the super chat, certainly persuasive for the time being. That's really great, though. That's funny. I like that super chat, Julia. Thank you. Becca, Dylan to Seattle U-Haul fund if he wants. Might have to look into that. I'm a little biased, of course, you know, having my best friend closer is something I can certainly get behind. But anyway, let's not pressure him too much for the time being until, you know, until we know if that might be what he wants. But I'm a little biased there. Let's see, going back into chat. Love how active chat is tonight. I mean, after this game, like I shouldn't be surprised, but this is awesome to see so many messages from you. Let's see. Maddie, big sad for Larson's Iron Man getting broken, hoping everything is well with him. Glad the boys got a dub for him anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that Iron Man streak ends for Lars. I mean, that's a great accomplishment. We can look back at it and just see how impressive that was. But you know what? I think it was for a pretty good reason. I think he's probably, it's just personal reasons, so no official confirmation. But judging by context, he's probably there for the birth of his child. I think that's the only thing he'd miss a game for, it seems like. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully, as Angela's saying, that Lars will come back with the dad energy. I can't wait to see that. I think he's really going to bring the dad energy of all the guys. He'll be great with that. So, you know, sad for the Iron Man streak ending, but very happy for what it probably means for Adam Larson there in his life. Bryce also thought Cale Fleury played well for someone who has been in more airports than hockey rinks recently. Yes, I'm glad someone brought up Cale Fleury, because I'm so glad, you know, I don't like that Dunn and Larson weren't able to play, but I'm glad Cale Fleury got into a game, that they actually called him up and he got to get into an NHL game. It's his first game of the season. And yeah, he's been on a lot of flights back and forth from here to Coachella Valley and back and all over the place. So really happy that he was able to play. And I thought he did pretty well. He wasn't on the ice for any goals against. You know, he defended the net really well when, Lundstrom kind of cut in to the net, tried to tuck it in on Philip Grubauer. Fleury gave him a good shove out of the crease and defended that well. Like, he was really solid. All right, here we go. We've got Dylan at Flatstick Pub Live ready to join us. And let's get him on screen here. Hey, Dylan, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, I would say. I mean, that was a fantastic game from the Kraken. Obviously, picking up the win was big. Get the season sweep on the Ducks. And then Shane Wright. I'm sure it's been said a million times in here already, but Shane Wright showing up huge. 3-point night. Involved in all four goals. We'll ignore the last one. It was a powerful performance from him, and then Maddie getting the other one, right? The youth movement, the two pillars down the middle, both getting goals in this one, both making a big difference. And RJ, yeah, doing so net front, going to the net, going to the interior. Oh my gosh, if only somebody had been talking about this.
I know, as I was watching the game, I just kept thinking over and over of all the things you said about Shane Wright getting the net front, how guys needed to do that. And to see it all come together was awesome. A truly a breakout game for Shane Wright in the NHL. And Dylan, it must have been really fun to experience that. Not alone on your couch watching the game, but with so many Kraken fans at Flatstick Pub.
Yes, no, there was a ton of people here, probably over 30. People ended up showing up. We ran out of seats. We were like trying to steal stools from other places and fit everybody in here. It was a ton of fun. And yes, no, it was loud. Like anytime they would score, it would be a cheer. And then the camera would zoom in and it was Shane. And everybody just lost it. Like, it was so fantastic. I'm sure like everybody else here at Plastic was just like, what is going on over there in that corner? But it was a ton of fun. Thanks to everybody who came out. It was wonderful getting to meet so many people that I haven't been able to meet before. And everybody coming out, it was just a fantastic time. I'm walking away with three bags of Chex Mix. Three bags of Chex Mix. I got a Victory Lemon Lime Gatorade.
There you go.
Shout out on the Gatorades to Richard and Kat, because they brought Gatorade for me, but also a bunch of little six packs for everybody. So we all got to have Victory Lemon Lime Gatorade time here at Flatstick. That was fantastic.
Awesome.
We were having a good time throughout this one, that's for sure.
So that's what Lindsay meant when she said that the Lemon Lime Gatorade was flowing at Flatstick Pub. We've had a few people who were there at the watch party in chat already, so I've got a few indications too. One thing I just want to revisit an earlier super chat. Julia said, and I believe Julia, wow, can't believe Dylan agreed with me in person that all of his Chex Mix opinions are wrong and my opinions are actually correct.
I don't remember it quite that way, but you said it was a super chat?
It was a super chat.
I guess it's true then.
Yep, that's what I thought.
Don't print things that are false, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it sounded believable to me. And speaking of super chats, we've got a few already since you've joined here. This one from JMG. So does Shane finish out the season with the Kraken, or does he go back to Coachella Valley to save that year on his contract? He definitely will go back to Coachella Valley. He's not going to burn that year of his ELC. You got to think long term. It is about the long term. But I think so. I know he's this good and he's playing this well. It's just a matter of like three, four extra games, though.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, he's playing better than probably we thought he would, right? Like, this would have been the high end of the expectation for him, right? Like, and again, it's because he's doing what really the Kraken have needed to do for a long time. Go to the interior, go net front, play that style of hockey, manufacture goals. It's obvious that he's going to fit in with the Kraken. It's obvious that he's going to be successful with them next year. So I get that you don't need to burn the ELC. But if he comes in, RJ, and he keeps scoring through those last two home games, I mean, it's going to be hard to then be like, okay, everybody, you got that like fun glimpse of things. Make sure to still support us for those last five games or whatever of the season when nothing else like exciting. Like, he's getting people going in a way that nobody else has. If he's selling season tickets, if he's helping out, if he's selling merch, everybody's picking up Shane Wright jerseys. I don't know.
No, because those last games are on the road. There's no extra home games that you could get him out there for. And you got to think about, with how promising he looks, you got to think about that cup window, you know, 2-3 years down the line. And that's where it's really going to help you. And that's where it's going to matter. So I think there's zero chance. But still.
You like, say that because you didn't have 30 plus members of the ECH community screaming every time they saw him.
Probably. Probably. I feel like we had a different environment for the game tonight. But yeah, you're sense. Yeah. And then, of course, super chat here from Gregory. Lemon, lime, Gatorade time, baby. The price is right. Shane is him. Hashtag in Shane we trust. Grab that Gatorade, Dylan.
Actually, they told me to chug half for everybody there and chug half for everybody here. So I'll do that now.
There you go. There you go. Let's go, Dylan. Go, 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 go. Hey.
I need that every day traveling too.
That's true. You could use it. All right. So another super chat here from Andrew. Dylan, let's go. And I guess that one applied as you were just chugging the Gatorade. So thank you, Andrew, for that super chat. Another super chat here from Kitty B. Kraken, a big one. These flat stick watch parties look like the most fun I can't have. One of the many disadvantages of being out of town Kraken fan. Wish I was there. Great job, guys. Thank you for the super chat. Thank you. Wish you could be there too. I know you would love that watch party. It just seemed like an awesome time, Dylan.
No, it was an awesome time. You know, hopefully we get to do these more frequently next season, right? Like, everything kind of came together with Flatstick pretty last minute for us this year. We weren't able to schedule as many of these, but just how well they've worked out, how much fun everybody's been able to have here. The fact that we now know, you know, not to schedule stuff for 4:30 on a Tuesday, 7 p.m. on a Friday is definitely the way to go.
It is
something I look forward to for next season for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then another super chat here from Andrew. Sorry I missed it. Please do more live stuff. Definitely we will. You'll have another chance. I know Andrew wasn't able to make it, but wanted to go tonight. So we'll definitely have more of these. I mean, how could you not with how great that went and just how many awesome people you got to be with?
Yeah, everybody was having a good time. Everybody was able to talk and hang out and have a great time talking and watching the Kraken game. Again, sports, it's a communal thing. It is built on community. Like, that is how the whole thing of sports has always worked. That's how sports was created, was communities getting together to you know, duke it out in a way that wasn't war. And good idea. It's really fun to be able to watch with everybody and have that experience. And we're going to have to do more because I'm going to have to give out more Apple plushies because a lot of disappointed people are going to wait for this one.
I know. Yeah, only one winner there. Maddie, saying maybe Bellingham Flatstick watch party next season. Bellingham is a ways further north, but we can look into it. Edward can confirm the watch party at Flatstick was fun. Unfortunately, had to head out to catch a bus home right as Dylan was getting ready to come on, or you might have seen me in the background. Sorry, had to go there, Edward, but I'm sure it was a great time.
Yeah, I know, and it was great to see Edward again. I mean, so good. I try to steal the joke secrets. You know, all the great comments Edward has in chats keeps him pretty locked up tight, though, unfortunately. Yep.
And then, Maddie, I said it once, but I'll say it again. Bring Dylan to Seattle 2025.
I know. I know. I mean, I think I got that more than anything else tonight. Was just like, when are you moving up here? Like, when are you coming? What's going on?
Yeah. We were seeing a lot of that in chat earlier before you joined also.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to have to do more trips up here next season.
Definitely. And Beck is suggesting maybe the Kirkland Flatstick, like half the players live over there. I know there's a lot of locations that, you know, that we could do. And, you know, even when we're not there hosting a watch party too, lots of locations to go and just catch a Kraken game. And then I like this one from your sister here, Dylan. Dylan came on and Afra whined at the TV, like, why is he there and not here?
Don't make me sad, Abby. Jeez.
Yeah, at least you had the Afra plushie there to kind of remind you of her. He'll be back soon.
Yeah, no,
he'll be back soon, Afra. If you're watching this, which I know you are, he'll be back soon.
Is she upset that I'm not there, or is she upset that she can't join?
Right? That's like, what it is. Yeah, I think she'd rather be there than you be.
Yeah. I mean, of all of us, she easily has the biggest ego regarding this whole thing.
Yeah, definitely. Maddie asking the geologist sister. Yes, the geologist sister. That is her. Super chat here from Rayanne. Thanks for a great night at Flatstick. So much fun.
Yes.
I had a good night, Rayanne.
No, it was a lot of fun to see you again and hang out, watch the game, watch the Kraken victory.
Mm-hmm. Another super chat here from Andrew. Lots of super chats from Andrew tonight. Thank you so much. It's just so happy to be part of this and the heart emoji. I mean, this community is awesome. Really feeling that tonight, especially tonight.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been fantastic. And this is like the kind of boost, especially like here at the end of the season, right? When things are kind of like, you know, Kraken aren't in the playoffs, they've been eliminated. But to be able to do something like this, it was definitely like kind of the pick me up I needed, especially being down there, right? Like I don't get to experience this with everybody, right? I don't get to have that all the time. Obviously, chat is fantastic. Being able to connect with everybody on the Discord, all of that kind of stuff. But being able to be here, watch a game, celebrate with everybody as the Kraken do well, the hope and everything that the young guys bring in, like Shane, right? Like this was really, really special for me.
Yeah, and I'm glad you feel that way too. I was kind of honest with everyone a little bit earlier in chat how, you know, for a bit of a stretch, kind of before the young guys called up, it felt like watching Kraken hockey wasn't all that fun anymore. But man, just the injection of life and energy and fun that the call-ups have brought has really helped. I think we're all kind of feeling that right now.
And you want to send Shane right back to save a couple million dollars, RJ.
Probably more than a couple at this rate.
I know.
Might be saving $7 or $8 million, you know, a few years down the line.
Dozens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, definitely. Rebecca, shout out from Anaheim to the watch party. How loud did it get in there when Shane went on Hattie watch? And was there talk of a hat trick after that second goal?
No, there was. Of course there was. How could you not, right? Like, with the moment he gets the second one. And then there was, like, with the third goal, right? Because he makes the pass into the crease. And the first angle I saw put it in doubt as whether or not it was Maddie's skate, because it was the angle from behind. And there was a moment where I was just like, everybody was happy. It was like, oh, Maddie scored. And I was like, but do we want this to go off the duck? If it goes off the duck, this is a hat trick. Kind of created a moment of like, oh, wait a second here.
Right. And Forslund got kind of excited thinking that maybe it did go off the duck there.
Yeah, no, it certainly had the potential to now. So, yeah. No,
it's And then it looks like, I'm catching up in chat here, it looks like Maddie Beniers got the Davy Jones hat. Okay. So, good for him. And cool to see Shane give it to Maddie also.
Yeah, no, and there was talk about that. Like, can Shane give himself the hat?
Like, he deserves it.
The star of this game. Maddie, obviously, though, you got to love that battle net front, right? Like, he established inside position. We've talked a lot this year about him, maybe his frame's a little too slight. He needs to add weight, needs to get stronger. He's getting tossed around. But there, he got it done. He got low, right? Like, he used his body. This is what I've been saying, right? This is like the Jagger Furkus stuff, too. If you've been in any of my prospect chats, when we talk about Jagger Furkus, that's the kind of stuff Jagger Furkus needs to start doing as he moves forward outside of the WHL. He's going to need to learn how to get low, get that lower center of gravity, get the leverage, and then establish, you know, positioning, put your body between yourself and the puck. And that's what Maddie did there. And he was able to excel net front with a guy all over him and get a goal. That was really, really good to see from him. And hopefully he continues that next year.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. Rebecca, if it hasn't been mentioned, have to give credit to the massive Firebirds energy in the Honda Center tonight. Seemed like all the Coachella Valley was there to cheer on Shane. Gave me chills.
That is really great to hear. I'm really, really happy to hear that. I know a lot of people go to the, when the Kraken come to town, they like to go to those Ducks games. I've talked to some people out of Coachella Valley that like to do that. And with the Firebirds coming up north, ran into Dan Bylsma at the airport earlier. They're up to play Abbotsford. Coachella Valley fans, they had the opportunity to go see some of their boys play for the Kraken.
Now, if that's not a good omen, I don't know what is. Running into Dan Bylsma at the airport earlier today, that's pretty cool.
I just saw him on Wednesday. It was just like,
follow me?
What's going on here?
Yeah, and Light pointing out, also the Kansas City Mavericks officially clinched the ECHL regular season title tonight. So excellence with both affiliates there. That is great to see.
Future is bright in this organization.
Yep. And I love this message from CJ. In a disappointing Kraken season, ECH was a bright spot. Love the community. Absolutely. It's a great community. Also, yeah, as with the Shane, Ricky crown himself like Napoleon, talking about Shane. I don't want to see the takes out of Montreal that would come tomorrow if Shane Wright gave himself the Davy Jones hat.
Wouldn't it be great, though? He could give himself the hats. He could declare himself captain. I'm the captain now. Like, it would be perfect. Who's saying
yeah,
no?
Yeah.
Besides... It's 20 other guys in that room.
Yeah, maybe.
But know, hey, you know, he kind of showed them up tonight. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, lead by example, right? Yeah. Everybody should want to get the hat, crown themselves captain, and go from their next game. It'll get the guys going. And then Maddie saying, with all the prospects in Coachella next season, I think I'm going to have to start seriously watching their games. Definitely, and no better time to start than the playoffs this year.
Yeah, no, we were going to talk about it either on the next deep dive or the following, but to bring in, you know, they're going to have their AHL playoff package, streaming package. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect time for everybody to sign up. You get that, you'll get all the playoff games. Be fantastic. We're definitely going to recommend people do that because they're a really good team. They're going to have a lot of fun. And younger prospects, their seasons end, as their playoff runs end, we've already seen this with a couple guys, like Dragicevic, they're going to go and join Coachella Valley, just like they did last year. And you know what? Some of them were able to like kind of get in the lineup semi-regularly and contribute as they went to overtime game 7 of the Calder Cup final. So it's going to be a heck of a fun time. If you can't make it down to Coachella Valley, which I totally understand, this is the next best thing, is to go ahead and go on AHL.com and get that streaming package for the playoffs.
For sure. Now, Yeah. No, I mean, that'd be a cool sponsor to the AHL.
Sponsor to have, yeah.
And I think I saw the Afra plushie in the background behind you.
Yes. Can we
Who won
see
it, by
the Afra plushie? Here we go. And yes, and we were able to throw this on. This is one of the pet bandanas that your mom made. So I threw that on the Afro plushie.
That is
to give it out. It was really, really fantastic.
That is perfect. And yeah, love the bandana there. Thank you, Mom, for making those. I mean, people have loved those. I mean, I can't believe we even had one left. I was looking at the bottom of my closet and a couple had fallen down. Perfect. That's why we had some left. Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously you're not designing for a tiny little plush, but you know, it fit really well. It looks fantastic.
That is great. And by the way, everybody in chat, I kind of went down to the bottom, toward the bottom, everything when Stillen hopped on to join us. So if you had something that I skipped over, feel free to throw that back into chat so I can see it now. Edward Dillon was on the wrong side of the room. If he'd been over on the W right side, that would have been off the duck for the Hattie.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. That was the one time I was on the other side. I was joking with some people about that, right? Like, Wright had scored both times. I was on the right side of the table. If you're facing the TV, we're all watching. And and then, yes, for that one goal, I was on the left side of the table.
See, there you go. That's
the only guy in the assist.
And I appreciate everyone sending updates from the watch party too, giving me bits of information. Jason had a few things in there. Say we agreed Shane should just replay the remainder of the games after goal 2, and can also confirm no group picture at the watch party with Dillon. I know you took a group picture.
Yeah, we did do a group picture. What's this talk?
I don't know. I was there. You sent it to me. I posted it.
Second intermission. I know there was a couple of people who had like other commitments. They had to get out of there first. But no.
Pretty good selfie game there, Dillon. Also, you kind of had to selfie it.
My phone sucks at taking selfies. You can ask anybody here. It was embarrassing. easily the most embarrassed I've ever been doing this job.
I mean, I had to choose between the one where you were blurry and the one where the crowd was blurry. So I went with you blurry. Sorry, Dylan.
No, it's fine. It was awful.
It's all good. Hey, maybe we can find a way logistically to both make the next one and I can just take the picture with my nice camera.
Yeah.
Let's see. Looking at chat here. Let's see. Kaylin, I went to my first Firebirds game last night. Even with the call-ups being gone, I had an epic time. The atmosphere was incredible. It is every single game there. And then CJ, do we think Oscar Fisker Molgaard and Rakoff get their ELCs this year? What do you think, Dylan? You're the prospect, right?
Molgaard, I don't know, because he's going to go back to Europe, right? Like, that's just where he's destined kind of for next year. So I don't know there. Who's the other one? Sorry.
Rakoff.
Rakoff. There's no need to. Like, he has another year of CHL eligibility. You don't need to get him on the books. You don't need him to take up one of your, what's it called? It's not like part of your 50 contracts, yeah. But the 90 organization.
Right, right. Yeah, the players on, is it reserve list?
Yeah. So, like, if you don't have to take up one of those reserve spots on somebody, like, you don't have to, right? So, yeah. Because he has that other year of eligibility, I think that we probably won't. Just because we haven't seen that from them with other guys. Like,
yeah,
I guess they rewarded Jagger last year. Maybe we do.
Yeah, maybe. Or toward the end of next year kind of thing. Super chat here from Andrew. So many super chats from Andrew tonight. Thank you. Love the flat stick and also hope you guys do a Ballard location one day. We have many great spots. Yeah, Ballard's a great place for those types of things, right? I mean, there's lots of cool locations in Ballard. It would be cool to have one over there.
Definitely.
Let's see. B, I was wondering about the hooking penalty at the end of the game. I can't see how that could have been anything but an awarded goal for McCann. Any thoughts on that call? Dylan, I thought that was the wrong call. I thought they should have awarded the goal. It looked like he had a clear shot at the empty net. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion on that here. I think you probably got to give him that. I understand, though, that traditionally they err on the side of caution there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when you are awarding a goal, that is the most impact on a game that a referee could possibly have. Right, yes. is to subjectively award a goal. So I understand their hesitancy in doing something like that.
Yeah, no, I get that. I still think it was the wrong call because he's in the offensive zone. He's past the blue line. He's kind of being taken down. I thought pretty much from behind. There's no one in between him and the empty net.
The only two things we could kind of come up with here was my point was maybe they don't consider him having full possession because he had just kind of chipped it forward. So it wasn't like he was actively stick handling with the puck. That could be a reason. And then also if he was parallel to a defender, not close to him, but he was parallel. So you could say that it wasn't a clean breakaway. Mm-hmm. Like that's basically what we came up with. The call was at least made. The game was basically over at that point too, right? Like it's putting you on a power play to almost close out the game. 2-goal lead against a bad team. Like, I'll live with it. But that's kind of what we discussed here as being the potential reason for it.
Yeah, it didn't really impact the game too much, really. But yeah, I kind of scratching my head at that a little bit initially. Maddie asking, anyone know the thought process of scratching Winterton and Morrison? Are we all mad? Makes zero sense to me. I did talk about this a little bit earlier in the post game, but I want to get your take on this one. Have you had time to think of any good reason that they could be doing this?
I can think of reasons. I can't say that they're good or not, but I think they are reasons that have like a little bit of logic behind them. So I think the least credible one is just you need to play the vets, like get Tatar in for a game, get Belmar in for a game. I don't really buy that one. I think that's dumb. I don't think it should be a thing. I think the reasoning for the last two games must have been the Kings game, you're technically still alive. Right. So if you win that game, you stay alive. I think you have to make, you know, maybe that's just Hackstall sending a message, right, from the organization to everybody that, you know, we don't just give up. Right. Like it's something. It's not the greatest reasoning in the world, but it's something. I could also see them thinking it's a pretty physical, tough to play Kings team. And maybe we want some more veteran guys in the lineup or something like that. This game, the only reasoning I could think of is because Ratko Gudas is back. And the Ducks might be playing a little peeved. And if we're beating them late, it might get chippy. And it did a little bit. And so maybe you're saving them. You're saving them for a Firebirds playoff run. You're getting vets in there who can handle it. A guy like Belmar, right? Like, he's no stranger to playing, you know, a little bit more physical. Like I said, I can't say that those are good reasonings, but I could at least understand a coach having those thoughts.
Yeah, no, I think you've expressed that well. Yeah, I still don't think either of those two are good reasons, but that's probably some of the thinking behind it. I mean, what's Radko Gudas going to do? He's going to flip someone 360 degrees? Come on.
Okay, I want to talk about that because was that not just like an old school hip check?
It was an old school. I didn't think it should have been a penalty. No, that's a hip check.
I loved seeing that. I'm not going to lie.
That was beautiful.
It was amazing. Like, that's what hockey used to be. You know me, RJ. I have longed for the days of the hip check to come back. I think it's BS that I can't go play in a beer league and throw one. Because I should. That's all. About all I'd be able to do. But I could do that really well, I think.
It is a lost art.
It's so good. I mean, I remember, you know, growing up, right? Like, watching Rob Blake just destroy guys entering the zone along the boards with us. Like, that was his calling card. And I just remember seeing it. It was just like, whoa. Like, it was just so cool. And so to see Radko Gudas go out there and throw an old school hip check, I thought it was clean. To do it open ice too, like, not even like up against
the boards.
Like, that's really difficult. That's a high skill level play that he did that. I thought it was kind of weird that it was a penalty, but, you know, helped out the Kraken.
Yeah, it did. I'm glad you agree with that, because I'm sorry. I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. This one from Coop here. Do you think we could have done a little more to try and get Shane the Hattie? I don't mean make it obvious, but Hack didn't even have him on the ice when the net was empty. Like, a read the room, dude.
I didn't think about that. Did he? And I, you know, obviously I had a lot going on here. Was he out for like the shift right before? Like, was this like he was just gassed and he needed to, you know, catch his breath on the bench? Or
I don't remember, but I do remember the guys on who were on the ice, and it was like Gord, Tanev. It was, you know, the guys who you would normally think of as the shutdown line.
Everybody's kind of clearing out here.
Yeah. But it was like the Gord, Tanev, you know, it's like the guys who you would think should be there. Oh, we got
that is Richard. Got one for the road. Thank you.
Awesome. Love to see that from everybody. Glad everyone had a good time.
I'll probably hop off here in just a sec so I can say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah, go ahead. Go hop off. Make say goodbye to everybody. But thanks for joining us there, Dylan. And I'll see you in a little bit when I come pick you up.
Yes. You better.
All right. Bye. All right. So that was Dylan from Flatstick Pub. It looked like such a fun time, but we'll get here to chat because we still have, you know, about 15 minutes or so, and we still got plenty of stuff in chat. Chat's still very active. So, I to Coop's question though, you only really got like two shifts there before the McCann thing. I don't know. I don't have a real issue with it. He already had a great game, and I think probably the next shift he would have gotten it. The problem it was that just with that penalty, then it just kind of became irrelevant as the Ducks put the goalie back in. So, I don't have a huge issue with that, but I understand like bringing it up because it would have been cool to see him get the hat trick or at least have the chance at it. But even then, like knowing Shane's personality and also kind of how you want him thinking, you don't want him thinking hat trick. You want him thinking defense, defend the lead, play safe, do all that stuff. Let's see. Sam, not to mention Coachella Valley will even get more reinforcements with the possibility of Newman coming over. And if Kitchener loses early, expect Razor and Chalet to join them too. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of who joins them for this run this year. Maddie, Bellingham is worth the drive. Maybe we can all catch a Kraken Canucks game. Yeah, Bellingham, and it's a beautiful drive too. I've driven up there a couple times before. And yeah, it's just gorgeous on the way there and the way back. I see what you're saying. And Canucks Kraken, I know Bellingham's actually pretty close to the Canucks too, not too far from the border. Let's see. And Michael, the defender was closing to parallel because he was pulled back by a stick. Yeah, I still think that should have been a goal awarded there. Sam, Goyette, Jagger, and Nelson all signed their ELCs last year, despite having another year of CHL eligibility. They're likely just waiting until Kitchener's season is fully finished. Yeah, I kind of defer to Dylan on these things, but I wouldn't be surprised if in Rakoff's case, Fisker Molgaard, I think they keep him over in Europe. They don't sign him yet. But in Rakoff's case, he played so well, I wouldn't be surprised to see them kind of sign him a year early, even though he might still go back to junior, just at least having him under that contract so that he can maybe join the Firebirds or, you know, maybe earn that spot. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that. Light, I do also think tonight was the first full game effort we've seen in a bit. Even in the first, when the Ducks were pushing hard, it didn't seem like the Kraken were letting them off easily. I agree with that, actually. This might be the first full 60-minute effort, true 60-minute effort that we've seen in a while. Because, I mean, those two games against the Ducks at home, they didn't really have a chance to give a full 60-minute effort given how the Ducks were playing. But, from start to finish, I think the Kraken brought the effort there. And Hakstol, after last game, too, he said he liked the effort level and he felt like that was there consistently, but the execution wasn't. And tonight I felt like both were more or less on for a full 60 minutes. And I mean, that's what you want. That's what you have to do. Let's see. JMG, if they're worried about the kids getting hurt, don't call them up. I agree. Like the Kings game, I still don't think that's a good reason, but the Kings game, like maybe they're a big physical team and all that stuff. If you're worried about playing the kids in this Ducks game, like for that Radko Gudas is going to hit him with an open ice hip check, like what are you doing? Like just let him play. I mean, or don't call them up if you feel that that's too much for them. So I'm definitely on the play the kids train. Shay, is anyone else a little bummed that Shane is out of Calder contention for next year? And that's a good question there, Shay. When I put that out at first, just saying a few things to know about the call-up, that if he played three games, he wouldn't be eligible for the Calder. A lot of replies were saying, well, he wasn't going to be in the mix for it anyway. You know, it's not even going to matter. After watching him tonight, I think he would have had a real shot at it. And that's not to say, that's not really to turn this into a negative. I don't mean to say it that way. I think really it's just a positive that he's looking so good, but it would have been fun to follow next season. Like I think if he keeps playing this well, we're not really going to care. And I don't think anybody's going to mind. And we're just going to track his performance and his success for its own sake and hopefully helping for a playoff push. But yeah, I think there is some fun that we maybe lost out with, but in the long run, I think you have to say that playing in tonight's game and therefore not being eligible is a good thing for Shane Wright. And that's really what matters the most. But that's a good question there, Shay. Michael, RJ, SSU hockey, did you play there? Yes, I did. I actually, Sonoma State, it was the roller hockey team. I did play there in college. It's where I met my girlfriend. She was on the team as well. Really good times playing there for only one season. But yes, I did play roller hockey at Sonoma State. And actually, apparently, there was some people with NHL paths on there too, besides me. So our goalie, his name was Chase Watson, and he's actually in the Coyotes analytics department right now. So I had the chance to catch up with him at CHAC last year. And I mean, just super smart, super bright guy. Not surprised he is where he is right now. But yeah, he was our goalie, had a great, really cool looking mask and good pads. And it was fun to catch up with him last year and kind of reminisce on those hockey memories. But thank you for the super chat there, Michael, and giving me the chance to talk about my college hockey days. Let's see. Zoe, Forslund said that Dunn was injured. How does the broadcast find out that stuff, since it seems like the press sheet just said he was a scratch? Yeah, so the broadcasters do get the chance to talk with the coaching staff, with people, you know, they have a lot of connections on the team. And I'm guessing what happened, because on a road trip, not as much media gets to travel with the team. And so you have those short media scrums, but the broadcasters usually get a little bit of extra time with the coaches and everything to kind of get some details to use on the broadcast. And so I imagine what happened today is probably Forslund had the chance to talk to Dave Hakstol or talk to somebody in the know in the organization and find out what happened with Vince Dunn, or at least that he was just banged up. And so he knew that for the broadcast, but that's usually how it works. Good question there. Good question there. Let's see. Oh, I lost my place in chat. Yeah. Good question, Zoe. There we go. I'm back in chat. Edward, impact on the game. It was 3-1. No way Ducks are racing that deficit late. I see the debate in here with the impact on the game and the awarded goal. I do think also, like, if you give that penalty too, with the Ducks being shorthanded for 2 minutes at that point, like 3 minutes to go, either way, it kind of ices the game. Rebecca, seeing that Tana flip in person was incredible. Not going to lie, but it could have ended so badly. What's the secret sauce of old school clean hitting to make sure they go full rotation? I think a big part of it is just coming in with enough force and lining it up properly. Because if that is even just a few inches off, he just kind of, Gudis would just kind of scrape Tanev's leg, and might you have like a knee on knee type situation. If he's a little bit more to the side, it's just a, you know, I guess more of just a solid check, but Gudis could end up getting the worst of it. It's just that feel of making sure, because the beauty of a hip check is that you're kind of going like hip right against the other guy's hip and body, where if you can get the contact made in the right area, I can't hard to like stand up and show it. But if you can get the contact just right, you don't even feel the guy bouncing off of you. It's just all the force goes into your opponent. And at that point, it's kind of easy to flip a guy. You'll see it if you just Google hip check highlights, or just search on YouTube hip check highlights or hip checks, where guys just flip all the time. And usually it's against the boards, where you're using the boards for leverage. It's kind of where they go like over you. But open ice, that's just hard to line up and how to do that. And then, yeah, Zoe, that explains how they all knew about the baby, too. I mean, as fans, we could guess, but they all mentioned specifically. Yeah, exactly. And the broadcasters, you know, they have a little bit more of a window into that than we as media do, or that the fans in general do. But it's good for the broadcast. You know, it gives them some interesting stuff to talk about and things for us all to find out. Sam, also one minor thing. Congrats to Karche for getting 200 hits. Yeah, congrats. He certainly earned that this season. He's laid on the hits a lot recently. Good for him. And I mean, I just love the physical presence that he's bringing. I have a lot of good things to say about him. If we do like end of season grades or something, he's going to get a good one from me. Light. Also, we need to talk about Furkus getting the Gordie Howe hat trick. Funniest thing I've ever seen watching that game. That is hilarious that Jacker Furkus got the Gordie Howe hat trick and how that all came together. I can't believe he got one before any Kraken player did at the NHL level. Like, how does that happen? I do not know. And it sounded like, because I saw the conversation on the Discord, and I'm pulling this up because, let's see, from yesterday, I screenshotted this. And by the way, Light, your comment made me like laugh out loud. I was getting ready for bed, and I just started laughing reading that comment. You know which one I'm talking about. I can't you know, repeat one of the words in it. But yeah, basically a secondary assist, an empty net goal, and survived a fight. Might be the worst Gordie Howe hat trick, but it's hilarious that he even has one from Backhand Sauce. And then they don't ask how, they ask how the F. So that was really funny. I love that comment from you, Light. And see, Maddie, I try to go to all the Canucks versus Kraken games in Vancouver because it's significantly closer than Seattle. I can get to Rogers Arena in an hour, whereas Climate Pledge is closer to an hour and a half. Yeah, exactly. Bellingham is a lot closer to Vancouver. Still want to go to a Kraken game in Vancouver. I've not had the chance to do that yet, but it's certainly on my list of things to do. JMG, did everyone vote for favorite Kraken player? Wonder if Yanni's reign will end this year. Yeah, I do wonder what the fan vote results are going to be. I mean, that's going to be a fun part of Fan Appreciation Night coming up. That's next week, actually, where they play the Sharks, and we'll kind of find out the awards there. I know there's an award voted on by the media as well, so I did put my votes in for that one. So yeah, interested to see how that comes out. John Gretzky wasn't Calder eligible either. It's okay, people, don't get too bummed out. Yeah, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it would be fun. But yeah, and Shay, I think it's a little normal for us to be a little bummed, but Shane won't be able to compete for the Calder and also be realist about his bright future with the team. Exactly. You know, there's both sides of it. You know, it would have been a really fun race to follow. I think, I mean, we have the Shane Wright versus Yuri Slafkovsky. It would have created this other possible Shane Wright versus number one overall pick, Shane Wright versus Macklin Celebrini, maybe as another little kind of mini rivalry in the league. That would have been kind of unique that a fourth overall pick would have, you know, the kind of butt heads with a couple number one overall picks there. Let's see. Sam, Maddie was the favorite player last year though, wasn't it? Oh, and it's going to be Joey, no question. I don't remember offhand actually who won it last year. I can't say for sure. But yeah, I mean, Joey's got to be a favorite though. I mean, come on. He's such a fan favorite this year, and I think he deserves it. Rebecca, not RJ sending me down a YouTube rabbit hole. It is a fun rabbit hole though. Hip checks, look up those highlights. And then also, if you want another one, if I can just throw one in there, Douglas Murray. He was probably the last guy to regularly do that kind of stuff from the league. He was just built like a brick house. And there are a lot of highlights. If you just go look at Douglas Murray hits or Douglas Murray highlights, where guys would come at him trying to lay a big hit on him, and they would just bounce right off of him, and they would get the worst of it. So that's another one I would recommend for you. Brooke Sands just picked a chord for fan fave. That is a good pick. Michael, it seems we end up icing the puck more frequently than our opponents when we try to get out of our D end. Am I just imagining that? I'm thinking about how icing stats, like how much they kind of even out over the course of a season, but really that's just an indication of like D zone pressure, usually to the point where you don't have a clean option and you have to ice the puck. I don't think the Kraken do it a whole lot more than any team that's at their level. But it's, you know, from game to game, it kind of varies. And it's also a sign that maybe the breakouts aren't as clean as you'd like. And tonight too, when you're missing your top D pair and you have Cale Fleury in the lineup for the first time in a long time, and you have Schultz in for the first time in a few games, like that kind of stuff is just going to happen. Where you're going to ice the puck in situations. Shay, but also on a not Kraken note, how about them Yotes, 6 unanswered goals in the third to beat Vegas? Did they actually complete that comeback? That is awesome. I saw they tied it and then Vegas took the lead again as I was starting this post game. Yeah, they win 7-4 against Vegas. Let's go Yotes. That's cool. Glad they were able to do that. And then Becca voted for Yanni, still the best. JMG Joey. B voted for Joey. Wouldn't be surprised if he takes it. Yeah, let's see. Ricky with Scott Stevens. Yeah, he had some huge hits in his career. Let's see. Viren, players in Europe and junior don't count against the 50 contract limit. It's not the contract limit. Sorry if that was discussed. I'm behind. Yeah, no, he was talking about the reserve list because I think there's a limit to the reserve list, but I think they're on the reserve list whether they sign the ELC or not. So I'm not sure if that's relevant, but yeah, Dylan was talking about the reserve list. I think that's 90, but thank you for that there via N. All right. So as we pass the hour mark, kind of last call in chat here for everyone, but this has been a really fun post game live. I've really enjoyed this one. Zoe, I voted for Joey. I mean, he is the mayor. That's true. The mayor's got to get votes from the constituency. That's how it works. Maddie, do we think the Yotes are getting this mysterious building built? I've got no clue. We'll probably talk about it on the Red Glare podcast. I don't, with Arizona stuff, I don't know. I haven't really looked into it. Maybe I'll look into it a little bit further, but no idea. Shay, enough about Shane. Let's talk about the next future Kraken Calder winner, Jagr Furkus. I mean, hey, when is he? I guess he'll be Calder eligible whenever he, you know, comes into the NHL. Still got to see at the AHL level first. But man, if he hits the potential of just where that skill can land him, he's going to be in that conversation. And then Michael with the super chat, we'll close it out here with the good night. Good night there, Michael. And good night to everybody. And one last shout out to our awesome sponsor, Flatstick Pub, hosting the great watch party tonight that I know Dylan had a fantastic time. So many of you had a great time. It's an awesome place to watch a Kraken game, watch party or not. And you know what? They stuck with us all season as the sponsor for these post-game lives, through good, through bad, through the wins, through the losses, and through the glimpses at the future, just like tonight. So big thanks to Flatstick Pub. Big thanks to everyone who joined us for post-game live and at the watch party, and big thanks to everyone who gave super chats tonight as well. I gotta go pick up Dylan from Flatstick Pub, so I will see you all next time.